7. On the Absolution. Vi looks up. Cardinal is mesmerized by the story, leaning avidly forward.
So you're saying she was a hero on her home planet?
He asks with a sad chuckle.
That she saved mothers and children and invented new weapons against her enemies? That she deserves her reputation as the perfect soldier?
He scoffs.
Unfortunately, that information doesn't exactly help me. There's a meeting tomorrow. General Hux will be there, and I need something that can take down Captain Phasma for good.
Little Armitage is coming over to play? What's the occasion?
That's not mine to know. I'm a soldier, remember? Now tell me something I can use.
Vi clears her dry throat and shakes her head, feeling like a schoolteacher with a particularly stubborn student. That's just one story. Just a taste of her life on Parnassos. Her origin story, say. It's easy to be a hero when your own survival is aligned with someone else's. When your victory is a victory for your entire clan. On Parnassos, you contribute to the group or you don't last long. There was nothing to lose in her fight with Balder. Her group needed that kid to keep their clan going. Saving Frey was saving herself, even if it looked a little sappy on the surface. The real information you need to take away from this idyllic scene is that Phasma betrayed her brother and held a grudge. Sure, she saved the kid. And sure, she invented a new weapon. But she didn't let anyone else take a bit of her fanfare, and she didn't want peace. If it had been up to her, she would have killed every claw. Cardinal says nothing, just rubs his hands through his hair and stares into nowhere. Vi can almost see him doing the math in his head. See that the Phasma he knows now is the same Phasma who once stood on Parnassos, weapons in hand. But this story alone won't be enough to convince him of what Phasma really is. He'll need more. And he wants it by tomorrow so he can, what, tattle on Phasma? Get her kicked out of the First Order? Their rivalry must be more serious than the Resistance had led her to believe. They told her Cardinal and Phasma were equals, each with their own domain. But that's definitely not how Cardinal feels. This is no little workplace tiff or friendly contest. And if Vi learned anything on Parnassos, it's that Phasma has her own plans for Cardinal, that she wouldn't let a brown-nosing rival stick around for long, especially if he became a threat. Vi can see how the story is beginning to crack him. How the more he thinks about Phasma, the less formal First Order soldier he is, and the more angry little boy he might become. She's got to encourage that, keep Cardinal's emotions hot, and push him to break his careful programming. That's the key to getting him on her side. But she's also got to avoid making him so angry that he kills her. The remote is never far from Vi's mind. She can't take many more of those uncontrolled jolts of electricity. It's imperative that Cardinal doesn't lose his temper again. A fine balance to walk, and she's definitely not at her best just now. She swallows audibly, chapped lips parting.
Hey, how about a little water, maybe? I get parched laying the groundwork for the really juicy stories.
Cardinal wags a finger.
We don't have much time, just tell me.
That's not how it works. If I die of dehydration or electrocution, Phasma's story dies with me.
Do I look like I brought you a picnic lunch? This is an interrogation, not a party.
It's going to be less of a party when I pass out.
The floating droid, Iris, he called it, zips around Vi and beeps imperatively at Cardinal. Vi wants to tease him for taking orders from a droid, but she knows well enough that when Gigi has new information to add, she always listens. She's going to miss that cheerful little astromech. She makes sure she's panting when Iris hovers right in front of her face. Cardinal mutters,
I know,
at his droid, and stands right in front of Vi, close enough for her to spit in his eye, if she had enough moisture, which she doesn't. He's from Jakku. He knows what dehydration looks like, and he'll have no choice but to agree with his droid that she's not looking so good. Something about the shocks this machine doles out did a number on her body. The droid's readouts must confirm that she's not playing him. Cardinal sighs and stands, putting on his helmet.
I don't need to say it, but don't move. Don't try to escape. I'm taking the remote. I'm leaving Iris behind, and I'm locking the door. Can I trust you?
She's not going to tell him that if he let her out of the chair right now, she'd just fall to the ground and twitch. Her muscles are burned out, her bones aching. She also won't tell him that building trust is exactly what she's trying to do, and this is a great way to accomplish it.
You can trust me because we made a deal. But when you come back and find me completely unmoved, I want you to remember it.
Why?
She gives him a small smile that cracks her lips.
Because I think we're going to make some more deals down the road. A little food wouldn't go amiss. This machine is like one big metallic hangover. It's terrible.
His voice through the helmet is impersonal and cold.
Of course it's terrible. It's supposed to be. It's a torture device.
With that, he taps on the control panel and the door slides open. Vi closes her eyes to enjoy the small breeze and somewhat fresher air before the door shuts. Even though she's pretty sure she could get out if she gave it her all, she doesn't like her odds just yet. Plus, Iris is watching her, a red eye blinking like a warning. Vi is willing to bet this little communications droid has been rigged with some kind of defense mechanism, a laser or a shock arm. She's not going to find out. She checks in on her body from toes to eyes, flexing every joint she can, tightening and then releasing the muscles. She's sore and drained, and her goal will be to somehow get stronger before he releases her from the machine, or she finds a way to break free, either one. As is, she couldn't fight even one of his kid stormtroopers, and she knows it.
Without meaning to, Vi falls asleep.
It's dark and warm inside her head, a pleasant cave where she can rest. She startles awake when the door slides open, filled with shiny red. Blinking to refocus her eyes, she does her best to perk back up so Cardinal won't know how very weak she is just now.
Is that Nerf steak I smell?
She mumbles.
It's water and protein. Standard trooper diet.
I was kidding. It smells like death.
Cardinal takes off his helmet and puts it back on the table. He's smiling, and Vi notes that he has a nice smile. Not that it matters. He's still the enemy.
The protein is still sealed in its packet and therefore has no smell. The only thing in this room with an obvious odor is you. Guess you were in that cockpit for a while, eh?
Vi can't even tip her head to sniff her underarms, but he's probably right. What with the mission, and the shocking, and the being trapped in this murder box of a room, she's likely not a treat for any of the senses.
I was in there a while, yes,
she agrees, and they can both hear the rasp in her throat.
And on Parnassos, which isn't known for the personal fragrance market.
The look Cardinal gives her. Well, she already knew his job involved training the younger recruits, but she can see now why he's good at it. There's a kindness in his eyes, a genuine concern that she wouldn't expect to see in an enemy. He frowns and brings a water bottle to her, extending a straw to help her drink like her mother had when she was a little girl and feverish on Choctil. The water tastes fake and like it's been blitzed with vitamins and medicine, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. She swallows deeply and sputters, and he pulls the straw away.
Not too much. You'll make yourself sick.
She smiles up at him, water still on her lips.
You just don't want to have to clean it up if I vomit.
It's the only possible way you could smell worse.
That gets a real laugh, and she's glad to play along. Good cop is always better than bad cop, and her endgame has a better chance of fruition if they can build some camaraderie. It's a surprise, actually, to find that anyone working for the First Order can be pleasant. Vi expected an angry, indoctrinated, brainwashed bully. A jerk. But he came from Jakku, didn't he? Lived there into his teens, probably, and had a personality before the propaganda machine pulled him in. And his personality is, thus far, very different from what she knows of Phasma. He gives her a few spoonfuls of dreary gray paste, and she's so thankful to have something in her stomach that she doesn't complain about the taste. Well, maybe she'll complain a little. "You know, you get to eat real food in the Resistance," she says, "made of actual animals and plants. With these crazy things called spices and salt, it'll blow your mind." He sits down and waves that away tiredly.
"I grew up on Jakku. A few sand rats, a stringy bird every now and then. Sometimes I found a nest of crickets if I was lucky. I'm not concerned about my palate.
But tell me, why'd you join the Resistance?"
Vi shakes her head and takes a moment to think about the right answer. "I didn't join it. That would suggest I work for free, or that I went looking for them, or for a cause to throw myself at. I'm for hire, and they offered to pay me to do what I do best, and I had the time, so I accepted." His look suggests he knows she's mostly lying.
"Oh, so if the First Order offered you more credits, you'd flip sides right now?"
She can only shrug.
"No, never.
You caught me. I won't work for the bad guys. I have the luxury of only working for organizations with both credits and morals."
Cardinal's smile disappears.
"Morals? The Resistance? Are you joking?
They advocate anarchy and destruction, selfishness, not morals."
"And the First Order is about morals, and not just the need to hold dominion over the galaxy?"
He shakes his head sadly, like she's a student who's disappointed him and needs a good lecture.
"It's right there in the name. First Order.
First
Order.
Fixing the mess left by the Republic and now the New Republic. Getting rid of bloated diplomats and lobbyists who don't represent real people with real problems. Bringing equality to all. The old system of government is ludicrous and doomed to fail. Sentient beings are incapable of making the choices that are in their best interests in the long run. The whole point of the First Order is stability."
"Easy to get the unstable to join up then, isn't it?"
Vi shoots back.
"What about the individual? What about freedom? With so many people on so many worlds, don't our differences and our unique choices make us beautiful?"
Cardinal scoffs, leaning his back against the table, one hand on his blaster as if he can't stand the notion.
"Our differences make us vulnerable. Vulnerable to misrule, to corruption, to getting mired in bureaucracy instead of effecting real change. Stability ensures progress for everyone. That's the whole point of government."
"Why, Cardinal, you sound like someone who doesn't even know he's just a tool for a tyrant."
"And you sound like someone who just wants to watch the galaxy burn."
Vi grins, her gold eyes sparkling.
"Yes, well, some of us do see better by firelight."
Cardinal huffs in annoyance and feeds her some more protein. Vi swallows it down, hating everything about it. But he doesn't even know how horrible the grub is, does he? He doesn't know what he's missing. That's the problem with indoctrination. The whole point of the First Order's kind of education is to stop someone from thinking and instead kick their emotions into gear. Make them hate everything else so they'll cling to what you give them. It's hard to think for yourself when fear and anger are driving the shuttle. But he can't see that because he's inside of it. And he clearly thinks he's in the right.
"Look, I didn't know what it felt like to have a full stomach until Brendel Hux found me. I'd never slept off the sand, never gone a night without waking to rats or sand fleas or something worse nibbling at me. The other kids were cruel. The adults were worse. That's what your New Republic does. Ignores poor backwater planets and funnels money to the rich planets that can afford to have a voice in the Senate. Who spoke for Jakku? No one. Who spoke for the boy I was? No one."
"And what did the First Order do for Jakku, eh? Is it better now that you've left it behind? Are the children well-fed and getting proper medical care?"
Cardinal tosses down the paste and stands, his hands in fists.
They will be. It's not yet time. But that time is coming.
Haven't you realized yet?
Vi asks.
It's never going to be fair. Even if you win, children will be forgotten. You were lucky. Your life got better. But that doesn't mean Brendel Hux was good.
And what about Brendel Hux?
Cardinal is in her face now, and she wants to turn away but can't. He smells of sweat and metal and that low and simmering rage that Vi has smelled on men all across the galaxy. As if his anger seeps out of his pores because he's unable to focus it on its true target. This anger can destroy a man. Or it can be harnessed. Used. A tool for the greater good. She just has to figure out how to get him in the harness and point him in the right direction. He's still in her face. It makes it hard to focus. She clears her throat.
Patience, Vi says. Patience and a little more water. I was just getting to the part about Phasma and Brendel.
Cardinal pushes away from the interrogation chair, rattling her bones within the metal cage. She knows he would love to hit her, but he can't. The electricity isn't personal enough. His anger at Phasma is a mad thing that hasn't yet found its target. Whether he refuses to hit her because he pities her or because he's been programmed, she doesn't know. Perhaps he could hit her if his superiors gave an order, but his superiors don't know he's down here. They don't know she's down here either. And she needs to keep it that way. She says nothing, doesn't begin her story, just licks her lips. She needs that water. The droid beeps urgently as if reading her mind. Cardinal fiddles with the screen on the wall, probably checking in to make sure he's not being missed. Vi is silent. He wouldn't turn on a comm, not with her down here, but she's still not going to take the risk of threatening their fragile peace. Finally, satisfied with whatever he finds, he brings her the water and waits for her to close her lips around the tube and drink. Not too much, he warns again, as only someone who's nearly died in a desert can.
Wait,
she says, suddenly realizing that the entire flavor of their discussion has changed. He's broken character with her, given away personal information.
Why are you being so nice to me?
Cardinal sits back on his chair and smiles.
Because while I was in my quarters, I did a little more digging. You didn't tell me you had a brother.
Vi is immediately awake and alert, straining against her bonds.
I have no one. You know nothing.
Something tells me that Ba'ako doesn't know about your secret life. After all, spies aren't very good for the careers of diplomats, are they? Even diplomats shipped off to marshy moons.
She's panting now, furious and terrified. She never even told the Resistance about Ba'ako. She changed her name to keep him safe, paid very high-priced slicers to bury her path. And yet Cardinal knows.
Tell me what you want,
she says, voice low and deadly. Cardinal tosses the remote in the air and catches it.
Same thing I've wanted all along. Tell me about Phasma and Brendel Hux.
Vi swallows, clears her throat, and starts talking.